It's time to get chiseled with Rob Hamadani.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chiseled. And why do we call it Chiseled? Because we're all a work in progress. Today, we have a special edition where we have five guys, just podcast guys, and we're getting together. We're going to chat a little bit, and we're going to share some of our struggles, our purpose, and maybe the whole how we struggle with that imposter syndrome thing. But we want to have fun here today, but we do want to get our messages across as to why we do this. So I'm Rob Hamadani. I'm your host, and I'm also the author of the book Better Than You Think. Who we have here today, we have my friend, four loving friends here. I'll say we're missing one guy. My first friend is Mike Gandolfo, known as the Godfather out of Louisville, if I'm saying that correctly, Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
We got Scott Wurzbacher from Charlotte, North Carolina. We have Brad Knoll from what he says is Fort Worth, but we know it's Fort Wayne, Indiana. And finally, we have Carl Miller from Lynchburg, Virginia. So, guys, I am so excited, so inspired to have you four on here. And just as a backdrop for everybody, we met in the real estate world. We met through a coaching company, and it's an environment that we go to these events throughout the year. We connect with each other there, and we've connected with each other offline. And there's nothing but a lot of love for each other here. And I'm sure they're going to hear some ball busting, for lack of a better word, during the course of this next, let's call it, hour. So anyway, welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Rob. Hoping to get chiseled.
Yeah, we're going to get chiseled. We're going to chisel each one of you here. So let's start off with Mike Gandolfo. And the reason I want to start off with the Godfather, one, he's the Godfather. But two, he's actually wanted to kind of push me and help me get this podcast started. His is the voice that you hear at the end of the podcast. It's just to buy Rob Commodore's book, go to Amazon. Anyway, that's Mike. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about your podcast, what your podcast is, what your purpose is around it, and maybe something you struggle with.
Yeah, so I'm probably got the least polished podcast of all you guys because I've trained all of you all well. So, no, just joking. This is an honor to be here because, all four of you guys would be in the running for just, if I had pallbearers at the end of the day, you guys would all four would be in the running for that. So, the podcast actually that I'm probably the most famous for, actually, it's a horse racing podcast called the Horse Racing Happy Hour. And we're in 65 countries, 35,000 weekly listeners. So we're one of the top horse racing podcasts in the world. It actually makes money. Sometimes. So
unlike the rest of us, but go ahead.
that podcast has really taken on a life of its own, and it's been a whole lot of fun. And basically, the purpose of that podcast is to make horse racing approachable to the average person. So we do a lot of the social aspects of horse racing, but then we get into some of the betting aspect of it as well. So, but then I also really just kind of came to this is kind of a major announcement here, Rob. So I'm not doing, I was doing a business podcast with the author of the 12 Week Year, Michael Lennington, and 12 Week Year coach, Kristen Tabbert. And that kind of ran its course. And so now, I am tying my next podcast, which is going to be launching very soon, in with the purpose of what I want my real estate business to be. And it's going to be called Change the Algorithm. And what Change the Algorithm means is when you look at the logo, I'm very carefully trying not to have any kind of trademark infringement, but the G will look very similar to a G logo that you might, look at like a search bar. And then the realtor R, which I think I have the rights to use. So the G, if you go to Google and you type in realtors A-R-E, it doesn't autofill with the most affirming words that you've ever seen before in your life, Rob. So my goal is to, I don't think we should be seen that way. Actually, I feel like we should be seen quite the opposite when you really look at what we do. And so my goal with that podcast is going to be a tool for realtors to listen to understand what it is, what their actual job is, understand who their actual client is and what their client's going through. And so the problem that we solve, and then hopefully help them improve in the way they do it, because I want to change that algorithm. I want realtors to be revered, not feared. So that's going to be the next one that's going to be launching here really soon.
The Godfather sounds like he's taking a line from Muhammad Ali. Want to be feared. Would you say endeared, not feared?
Revered. Endeared, though, would be good.
There you go.
Yeah. So
float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Rumble, young man, rumble. Let's go.
My guy just downloaded the horse racing podcast, by the way. Thank you for that shout out. Anybody listening should download that. I'm gonna listen to that tonight.
I also want to just make it very clear that I do play more of a character on that show. So like I'm a little goofier, and there might be a couple episodes where I don't have, where I'm topless. Because there is a video aspect, but
I did see that. But yeah. Hey, one more download as of right now.
We got Basketball Hall of Famer Dan Issel shirtless on our podcast. So
hey, we want the authentic Mike. That's what we want. And I do think
honestly, that's the key. And Rob, you talked about what we struggle with. I struggle probably like not having it polished enough as you guys do. I'm okay, like just like fire aim ready. But the authenticity pieces, I think, especially with the horse racing shows, kind of what makes it so appealing to people is that we do get on there. We're really authentic. And that's really people want authentic conversation. That's what they want.
Yeah, I know I've dialed into it a couple of times. And if, correct me if I'm wrong here, Mike, you get on there, Mike's got music blasting, maybe have a cigar going, got his little hat, his sports hat on there. He's jamming out. So they're doing it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, hey, let's go next to, I'm just picking a name here. Let's go to Brad. Brad, because I think you're the newest of us all to the podcast world, and the title of your podcast is Student of the Game. So tell us a little bit about your situation, Brad.
Well, in a room like this, I feel like rookie of the game or something like that. You guys are all the veterans. So Student of the Game, you talked about authenticity. You talked about imposter syndrome. You know, I think as a podcaster and as a student of the game, one of the things that I struggled with was I had a fantastic upbringing, I had a great childhood, loved my parents, had a great childhood, and I kind of got frustrated with my parents, and that was more about me than it was on them. When I got into business, when I got into real estate, you know, I started meeting you guys, and I was envious that I felt behind. I didn't know business, I didn't understand business, I didn't grow up talking about business or money. You know, in the household, and I just felt behind. And so there was this imposter syndrome of running a business and feeling like I didn't deserve it and I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, I forget who it was, but there's a lot of books, authors, speakers that say, you know, when you kind of find yourself, it's when you can give advice to the person you needed. And so to me, I realized very, very quickly doing this podcast that everything I know about business, I learned in the locker room. You know, being a Division I athlete, I thought to myself, like, hey, I played sports. That's great. Now my career's over. Now I transition into business. And I know nothing about business. But at the same time, I know everything about business. And I learned that in the locker room. And so it's not a sports podcast. It's a small business podcast. It's a podcast where we bring on people and we just talk about what does it look like to master the fundamentals in something. You know, in basketball, it's, you know, dribble, pass, and shoot. There's a reason defense isn't in there, Mike, but dribble, pass, and shoot at the fundamentals. And that's really what you focus on, right? Because all of us have the same theory. The theory is fundamentals do not change, but the strategies and the tactics always will change. And so people that get lost in change, people that get frustrated in change, all that is strategies and tactics. And when you focus on the fundamentals, those will never change. And so there's a lot of truth, or there's a lot of seeking or searching the truth in those fundamentals. And after you master the fundamentals, you got to fall in love with practice. You got to fall in love with the grind. You got to fall in love with the process. You got to fall in love with all the boring things that, you know, most of us high achievers sometimes forget about and need to be reminded about. And so, you know, that's really where falling in love with practice is. And then ultimately winning in the game of life. You know, what does that look like for all of us? So I bring on guests that have gone through some stuff that maybe feel like they don't have a story. But in reality, we all have a story. And the more you tell your story and the more you try to help that person you needed when you were 18, 20, 22, 25, heck, 45, you know, whatever age it is, we all need people. It's just helping people tell that story and then relaying it in the small business setting. So the imposter syndrome was very real. And I needed to kind of prove my concept. I needed to prove the concept that, you know, I have what it takes to be successful, and each of us have what it takes to be successful. And so for me, after doing a lot of deep work, I came up with Student of the Game. And that's, to me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I love that title. Thank you for sharing that, Brad. It's awesome. Just elaborate a little more. I mean, I think we're all like sports guys here to some extent, but the locker room, which you learn in the locker room. Elaborate on that a little bit.
I mean, you know, everybody learns these same concepts somewhere, you know, whether it's Boy Scouts, whether it's Girl Scouts, whether it's cheerleading, whether it's, you know, chemistry, whether it's school, church, we learn these same concepts. But for me, I learned it in the locker room. And what I learned was accountability. I learned leadership. I learned communication. I learned teamwork. I learned, you know, dedication, determination. Like, I was the shortest and the whitest guy on my team. I had to be the first to practice and the last to leave if I ever wanted to play. Yeah. And so all of these lessons carry over. And so I think at the root of student of the game and what I learned in the locker room is curiosity. And that also kind of manifests itself as we talk about in what's popular in public opinion right now is like a growth mindset. So for me, having a growth mindset or being curious had everything to do about, you know, let me go back and look at what did I learn by being a student athlete. And so for me, all the lessons were right in front of me. I just had to pay attention to them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Carl Miller, the Carl Miller Show from Lynchburg, Virginia. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Hey guys. Yeah. So it's thank you, first of all, Rob, for the invitation to be on today. Yeah. So I have a real estate brokerage in Lynchburg, and one of the things I know about, and so my podcast is kind of catered towards homeowners and future homeowners. And we, unlike you guys, we kind of have a pretty specific geographical target market because this is a live radio show that plays on a local talk radio station. And I say live, we pre-record it, but the format as if it is live. And so the thing about radio that's a little different than a podcast format is that it's very precise with timing. I know I have exactly 28 minutes and 30 seconds with every show, and we break it down into a first and a second segment. I have a 60-second break. But I started this show because I was kind of tired of hearing some national news trends and that getting picked up on and talked about locally, when the thing about real estate is that it's always local. All real estate is local. You know, it's like if I'm going to Nashville this weekend, Rob, and I say, hey, what should I wear? What's the temperature like in Nashville? And you turn around and tell me, well, you know, in December, middle of December, U.S. national average is temperature is 38 degrees. No, I want to know what the temperature is in Nashville when I'm going to Nashville this weekend. So real estate is always local, and all markets are local, you know, supply, demand, price points, all of that. So I kind of started the show just to educate the local populace of what's happening locally, and then comparing that to some national things. But since then, it's just kind of become more of an educational piece. One of my top attributes from a personality standpoint is being a trusted advisor. And I really love being in that role with my clients and just helping clients make confident decisions. And that's something that I thrive in. And I enjoy getting on the radio show and just being able to provide good information, provide perspective, provide accurate data. And then it's been a fun platform to bring on our agents and our staff and share it. For a while, I had a co-host. My marketing director was my co-host for actually several years. And she's
I'm trying to steal her from my new podcast. It's not working.
Yeah.
No. I'm trying to steal her.
Yeah.
You're trying to steal her,
Mike? She was amazing.
Yeah, I am trying to steal her.
So today we kind of... No, probably can't afford her. Yeah, she's too good. She actually just took on another position with another national company. But I'm actually kind of running it right now this month and last month with just bringing on guests. And the guests are my agents and staff members, and just introducing the audience again to our growing team of agents. And again, it's just to be a value add. And so the results that have kind of happened over 3 years is the thing about radio. And I think about any advertising that you do or getting yourself out there. The key is to keep showing up and be consistent. And this is with any marketing. So the radio arm kind of became a little bit of a marketing arm of our firm. And my firm has my name on the sign, and I just kept the radio show the same. And so it's a little bit heavy towards the brand of our brokerage. But, you know, what the flip side of that is, without me intentionally trying to do this, you almost sort of become a local name that everybody knows, and a celebrity almost. And I don't seek that out, but it is kind of funny when I'll go to a restaurant or I'll be sitting somewhere and they find out that, you know, who I am, and they're like, oh, you're the Carl with the radio show. And there's sort of this almost being put on a pedestal. And I don't really care for that. I mean, to me, I'm just a guy that's still learning, but it has given us credibility. It's opened up some doors in our market. And again, this is after being on the radio every single week for 3 years. I think the biggest struggle that I have right now is, or just, you know, every week, is honestly coming up with good content. Cause if I'm going to be on the radio, which is a paid platform, I mean, I'm like you guys, I'm paying a fair amount of money to be on that platform. I want to deliver good content. And so sometimes the struggle is coming up with good content, keeping the conversation interesting so the listeners stay engaged. But I feel like we did a pretty decent job of it. And then we just upload the show to a podcast called the Carl Miller Show.
And he's joking, because you go to a Liberty football game or a Liberty basketball game, you see Carl Miller's name plastered everywhere. So he's
on the scoreboard.
Yeah. And he, you know, yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So hey, Carl, so that's great, because I know you talked about the celebrity piece. And everybody's like, you're the Carl Miller, the Carl Miller. Do you ever get anybody like, you're the Carl Miller that screwed me, or you're the Carl Miller that did me wrong? You get anything like that, any negative vibes from people?
I haven't. I'm sure it's out there, probably behind my back. You know, I'm in the southern town of, you know, South Central Virginia, and you know, people don't like to, you know, unlike up north, they don't confront you with that fact. They just kind of talk about it behind your back and bless your heart. But No, I haven't yet. It's probably coming.
I just want you to know, in the northeast section of the country, we shoot you straight. I mean, right to your face, just so you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're South of Mason Dixon Land, Rob.
You got to work on that down there in Lynchburg. So thank you, Carl.
There's probably some truth to that.
It's all good. But we're going to break you guys all down before the show's over with here today. So, hey, Scott Wurzbacher from Charlotte, North Carolina, man. You got a podcast, Inspire Campfire. Mr. Adventurous here. Tell us a little about your show, buddy.
Yeah. You know, my show is really, gosh, I hate to use the word escape, but that's probably where it came from. We all know each other from the real estate world, but, you know, I found myself on just these little mini adventures with family and just getting out into nature, just really trying to, you know, get away and unplug. And where it really was born out of was trips that I was taking with my daughter, these daddy-daughter trips. And we were camping in the Outer Banks. And I remember just laying in the tent with her. And we were just having, it was just like totally in flow, just totally at peace. And just like in the middle of nowhere, the waves are crashing in the background. And I was just thinking, my gosh, like I feel so full right now. Like this is so incredible. And everybody needs to go camping. Everybody needs to get outside. Everybody needs to feel like this. And she and I kind of talked about like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we could like somehow inspire more people to get outside and go camping? And the idea kind of died there in that tent. But then that summer, my whole family went on a month-long trip to the Boundary Waters in Minnesota. And that was a big deal. That was like, it was a big deal for me to step away from my real estate business for 30 days and go out into the wilderness like that. And the same thing kind of happened. I remember we were sitting on the bank of a campsite in the middle of the Boundary Waters canoe area. We were like 6 miles from anything. The sun was setting behind the pine trees in the background. There were literally wolves howling in the background. And I'm watching the sunset, and I just like, I felt this incredible sense of peace. And you guys know me. I like to talk about, all of us do, we like to talk about things like meaning and purpose and, you know, what are we doing with our lives? And what's, you know, what's this all about? And as I was watching the sunset in the Boundary Waters, I had this thought like, oh my gosh, you know what? For like the last 2 weeks, I haven't thought about meaning and purpose once. And it hit me like, why do you need to talk about meaning and purpose when you're living it? Wow. You know, so I just felt this, like this sense of wholeness. And, you know, I remembered back in the Outer Banks with my daughter, we talked about wanting to inspire people. And I kind of felt that feeling again of wanting to share with others. I guess it's like this feeling of like, Tony Robbins talks about the six human needs, and two of them are like growth and contribution. And I guess it was my like desire to want to contribute, but I just felt this desire to want to share that feeling that I had with others. And podcasting just honestly just seemed like maybe a way that would fit for me. And I love just sitting one-on-one with people, having conversations, going to coffee with people. And honestly, that's what my podcast is. It might as well be sitting in a coffee shop, just chatting with somebody. And that's kind of where it was born. And it's just taken off from there. And, you know, I can definitely go on and on. I mean, it's like what you think it's going to be when you start is very different than how it ends up turning out. And I can't say that I had planned out any of it. But there's just been some really incredible things that have happened, mostly because of the relationships that get built with the people that you talk to and then what sort of unfolds from there. And I know you all have experienced all of that. And honestly, sitting here on this call with you is a perfect example of that. The Godfather impacted my life. And he's the reason that I'm connected to the rest of you guys on this call. I met him at Mastermind event in a pool. And, you know, from there, he introduced me to essentially somebody that connected me to the rest of you guys. So, you know, it's pretty impactful when you get to have those one-on-one conversations with people.
That's more awesome. Evidence that good things happen when I'm shirtless. So,
the one thing's refreshing here is you're in a pool with him and you didn't have a cinder block tied to your ankles from the Godfather. That's a good thing there. So yes, that's interesting.
I gotta give Scott a lot of credit too, because Scott's probably, and again, in full disclosure, it's not that I listen to everybody's podcast every week that you guys put out, but the one thing about Scott is he is such a good listener and really good with follow-up questions. And so and Scott, you brought on some amazing guests too. And I always learn something when I listen to you. And I think the way you just listen and then ask follow-up questions, it's a real skill you've developed, or it's a real natural gift, one or the other. But props to you. I think you have the fun event. I'm a little bit bent towards adventure and fun. So to me, it is an escape, and I always learn something. And it's just cool to hear the way you interview folks. You do a fantastic job with that.
I'm gonna add to that real quick. So when I was starting my podcast, you know, my podcast team was telling me, you know, go do some research, go listen to great podcasters. I probably listened to 6 episodes of Scott back to back to back to back, because you're exactly right. He's an active listener and it's amazing. And I'll tell you this, I had a horrible camping experience growing up with my wife and my future wife and my future in-laws. It was horrible, miserable. Like, I never want to do it again. Scott's the person that's got me closest to wanting to inspire another campfire for sure.
There you go.
Hey, stay tuned. There's some more trips. More trips coming up there, Brad. We can
all you got to do is give them this deposit for November next year. This is it. So let's go, Brad. You can come with me and Ed Daniels. Let's go. Carl's going to come. He just hasn't committed yet.
Well, that's interesting, because this has nothing to do with the podcast. So I think it was Scott and Ed came up with this idea that the travel to Baja, or camp the Baja. Is that what it is, Scott? If you want to explain that a little bit. And the reason I want to bring that up is just because this is 5 guys plus many other people in this real estate community that have met each other. And here we're getting ready to do something that we're going to go spend some time in the desert and have a pretty cool experience. So Scott, just share a little bit about that real quick. And maybe we can raise some money, but go ahead.
Look, I mean, you know, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, you just get an opportunity to just completely disconnect. I mean, there's authenticity, there's personal growth that happens. You're out there, you get a sense of accomplishment. One of the things that I like to talk about on my podcast is the word awe. It's one of my favorite things to talk about with people. And the word awe, as defined in the Oxford, the Google version of the dictionary, it's defined as a reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. And I love that definition and I love that word. And those are I want to go on trips where I am, you know, assured of feeling that sense of awe. And so it's that's the wonder. Like, that's a very safe word, right? Wonder, you can stare at a sunrise or a sunset or a beautiful mountain and have that sense, but it's mixed in with this feeling of fear. Right. And that could be like a smallness, or it could be, you know, coming face to face with a bear, or it could be like, you know, being on a mountain ledge or something that kind of creates that just feeling of aliveness. And I think that's really what it's all about. And so, you know, any trip that I want to really go do and do deep with you guys is something that's going to invoke that sense of awe, because like, what's even better, I think, is the shared sense of awe when you get to experience it together.
And for Ed Daniels, it has to have maximum amount of lounging and not a lot of movement.
That's true. That's true.
Funny story. I was in Dallas last week and I catch an Uber to the airport, and this guy gets out of the car. He was 7'1". I was like, I only knew one person taller, and I never knew anybody taller than Ed Daniels at 6'9". This guy was 7'1". I was shocked, man. I'm like, I had to get on a stool just to see his waist. Anyway, but hey,
well, let's real quick before you ask this, ask another question. Maybe we're here for this, Rob. Maybe we're not. But let's stay on Scott for a second. So, why do you have to go on an adventure to have awe? Like, can I have awe looking at my children? Can I have awe? Ooh. Can I have awe journaling about the day that I just had yesterday? You know, and I think that's the beauty in us guys getting together. And whoever's listening to this, thank you for that, first of all. But I think it's okay to say, like, the adventure is great, but not everybody has the opportunity to take that adventure. You should take that adventure. But the people that don't have the opportunity to take that adventure today, right? I don't. I have 2 weeks of planned meetings that's going on. But why can't I wake up in the morning and have that same sense of awe when I think about the people that I impacted yesterday?
Hey, if I could jump in real quick on that, Brad, I love that. I love the question. And guys, like, this is a group thing. Anybody feel free to jump in and ask the questions. I don't need to be the moderator the whole time. And Scott, I love the fact that you talk about all. But I think one of the, like, I love traveling. I love, like, we were in Sedona. We were in the Grand Canyon. I love looking up at the stars and being in awe. But one of the questions I ask myself at the beginning of every week, how can I be in awe this week, whether it's with myself, with my family, and something I do at work, and or maybe it's outside looking at the sunrise every day. So I love that. So Scott, go ahead if you want to respond to his question there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I honestly think that that's kind of the goal, Brad, is if we can get to a place where we don't need to, like, travel or escape or go out and find someplace. I think that nature, especially, it just provides, it's like shock treatment. It's just like, it's effortless. You know, it just, you find your mind in this state of, like, you know, you're so captured by the experience and you feel this sense of aliveness that you don't have to really think about it. You know, I think when you're in the day to day, when we're in, you know, when we're in the city and we're in the hustle and the bustle and there's this, like, sensory stimulation that's going on, it's hard, you know, and I think that nature has a tendency to snap us out of it. And so I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a goal. I think this is why, you know, Zen masters have to practice for years, like meditating for hours on end, right? To be able to learn how to calm their minds to get to that place and not have to go out into the mountains to do it. But, you know, it takes practice and it takes time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think shocking the system in nature is just one way to do it.
That's great stuff. Hey, Mike, I got to ask you then, like, because we're talking about being all in nature, all in the family. I think about you sitting there doing a horse racing podcast, and I can sit there. I don't watch horse racing a lot. I might watch the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and all that, and it's just a few of them I do. But are you ever in awe at the beauty of these horses?
All the time. I mean, actually, I think that's probably one of my favorite things to do in Kentucky, actually, is in the morning, you go watch the horses work out on the track and you see the sun rise over Churchill Downs and you hear the horses, you know, breathing and stomping. And you're looking at these just incredibly muscular, large animals on these little toothpick legs.
That's like me, but go ahead.
Kind of. it's just, they are, they're, it's, there's all kinds of awe that can happen back then. And especially I think when, I know it sounds weird, but sometimes you connect with a horse, like, you know, they, like, look you in the eye. When you look a horse in the eye and the horse, like, you can feel the connection is, it's really kind of unique experience, you know? And,
is your shirt on or off at this point?
I mean, I can go off. Do you want me to take it off?
No, he's talking about
when you're looking at the horse.
Oh, with the horse. Yeah. My shirts. If I took my shirt off on the backside, they probably asked me to leave. So
no, Brad, you know, that picture him taking his shirt off in front of the horse going,
oh,
geez.
Oh my God.
I had to say that.
But I mean, I remember, like, we've had a couple shares of some race horses, and one of the first ones we ever had, and my daughter was little, and that horse knew when my daughter was near the stable every single time. And just that kind of human connection that happens with the horses is an experience of awe. And it's in a way that, I mean, you're experiencing nature in that point too. And I think the other way that as my kids get older, that you, and Rob's got, Rob, well, Carl's got older, got an older son too, but when you start to see your kids, and Brad, I think you've had this recently, actually all of us have had this recently, but when you start to see your kids step into their own as a person and as a, and really advocate for themselves and just, and realize, like, you know, when you're wondering if everything we're doing sinking in and you kind of see or start to see evidence that it is, that's another time I think that at home when we see awe.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. I got a feeling this, the theme of this podcast is going down the awe road here, but that's great.
All year.
Hey, Carl, you said something earlier about the questioning and whatnot, and it made me think, because I think we all, I would think we all experienced this. So how has the podcast, any one of you can answer this, how has the podcast made you a better asker of questions?
Yeah, that's a great, you know what, it forces you to do is to slow down and to contemplate. So I'm kind of wired to just go and be a doer and kind of neglect sometimes the philosophy or the pause. And I realize sometimes, especially listening to my earlier episodes, I talked really fast and I didn't slow down enough to, I throw out a lot of content, but it wasn't being effectively communicated as much. And earlier this year, I actually hired a communications coach just to help a little bit more with active listening. And there's a lot of power in a pause, and there's a lot of power in active listening. And if nothing else, what I think I'm learning is how to practice active listening better. And that's why I commend you, Scott, because you've either really developed this or it comes naturally to you. But there's a lot of power in acknowledging the other person and not racing ahead your own mind about how you're going to respond and what you're going to say or onto the next question. We always have questions prepared, but sometimes the best dialogues kind of happen when you completely just go off script. And so, Mike, you talked about not being very polished. The reality is that it's super authentic on your podcast because you're just having a conversation. You don't even know where it's going to go. There's no agenda. It's just sort of, we're having a conversation and we're connecting with the guys on the show. And, you know, in some sense, there's real value in that too. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, Rob, but one of the things that the podcast or the radio show, in my case, has really forced me to do is become a better communicator, become a better listener. But there's also a bit of a built-in accountability too. When you know you're going to be live, or, you know, it's good, you got a show that's going to be playing at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning on the local radio station, it forces me to be prepared. It forces me to be a better professional. It forces me to know my numbers and to have my act together. And then also to research topics that I probably wouldn't otherwise research. So I think the benefits are I become a better professional just by result of having the built-in accountability of that radio show.
Yeah, that's great, Carl. I think about, like, for me, just being, you talk about the active listening, and it's that and asking the follow-up question. So we do it on our podcast. Have you seen yourself, and you may not even recognize it, have you seen yourself taking it to your business? Like, if I'm on a listing appointment, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm listening better. Wow, I'm asking better follow-up questions. And it's really helped me, even in the family, even if we're having dinner and we're just having a conversation. I've definitely become a better listener. I don't know if my wife would agree with that, but anyway, I've become a better listener. And I think, again, just asking the questions better. And this might sound egotistical to some extent, but, and I'll ask all of you this, do you ever find yourself, again, I'm watching how I say this, in awe of yourself and how you've improved or gotten better, whether it's a listener or a speaker or a content developer, whatever. And I say that not from an ego sense, but like from a guy giving you a gift to be able to listen better, to be able to present better. Have you ever thought about that?
All the time.
I'm just in awe that people want to listen. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, like Carl mentioned it too, and I remember the first time we were at the track, and I'm there with my horse racing partner, Louie. And Louie, we've got fans coming up to want to take pictures with us. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, I don't know. It's just, I'm in awe that people want to listen and they enjoy listening, because I honestly take the opposite approach. Like, I just assume no one's listening. And I think that's where that authenticity comes in. And then you start to realize, and especially in Louie's case, I mean, Louie, my other guy on the show, it's turned into him having a everyday show on ESPN radio. He's got a daily show on ESPN radio because of our horse racing podcast. And then, you know, you start to realize, like, we talk about things going on in his life. He's got a kid who's slightly autistic, and another, we were at doing a remote show, and another parent came up and said, man, what you were talking about, your son helped me really understand what was going on with my son. And it just changed my perspective on everything. It's like when you have a microphone in front of you and you have an audience, even though you're not talking to people directly, you are talking to people directly, and you can really impact people, whether it's sports radio or doing with what we're doing here. Like, there's relationships that actually get formed there. And that the power of that is very much awe-inspiring. And I think I do see it a little bit more, like when I'm hosting on ESPN radio, doing the Kentucky post-game shows or whatever else. But like, you know, those people look forward to talking to you on a regular basis. And it's pretty amazing how people let you into their lives.
Yeah. Now, when any of you first started, did you see yourself more as a person to ask questions and then you're the conduit to pass the message on, or did you also see yourself learning from the person you're speaking to in the process, not just being a conduit, but being an actual learner?
Yeah. I mean, I'll go, yeah, both. And, you know, I'm the one to start this podcast last, and I feel like I'm advanced, and it's because of what I've learned from you guys. You know, I've watched you, I've listened to all of you and each of you, and you've all been a benefit into my life. I'm gonna go back to the previous question. I think Carl did a fantastic job of elaborating a little bit, but I interviewed our men's basketball coach here at our local Division I program. And one of the things that he said is, he's like, hey, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so busy. It's basketball season. Like, I'm interrupting his life. And he's like, no, thank you so much for having me on this podcast, because we're all so busy. And this is what he called it, in the same words, different words as Carl, but same thing. He goes, when do we get to have forced reflection? That's the words he used, is forced reflection. And so if you're out there right now, you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I should start a podcast, I got something to say, or I should start a podcast because, you know, it's been a goal of mine. Go do it. No matter if nobody listens to it, what it's going to do for yourself is it's going to create forced reflection. You're going to have to prepare. And that preparation, what we say on our podcast, is preparation creates separation. You know, you're going to have that forced reflection. Okay. And that forced reflection is going to separate you from whether it's your competitors, whether it's the old version of you. I'm talking to my kids, and you talked about this, Rob. I'm talking to my kids as a podcaster, as somebody who's an active listener. You know, try to be like Scott, you know, ask the next question, follow up. And so my goals when I started the podcast was really three things. I wanted to create legacy content for my children. I wanted to introduce them to some really cool people that I know that can impact their life. And the way to do that is to record something so that they can listen to it at any point, you know, at any point. So create legacy content for my children. The second goal is to become a great communicator. And the third goal was to promote our businesses, or our brand of businesses that we have with Lindsay's Interior Business, our real estate company, and several other things that we're working on. But I'm going to land on the second thing for a second. So one of the goals was to become a great communicator. Well, you know how to become a great communicator? You listen. Right? And so all of you have said this, and I'm just echoing what you guys have said as the last one to this party here, is I wanted to be a great communicator. And in my opinion, great communicators, they help people memorize messages. Well, there's a step either beyond that or before that, and that's active listening. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but what I'm saying is I'm affirming that if you're out there right now and you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, these five guys, you know, have this podcast, there's a responsibility when you have a microphone in front of you to deliver value. And in order to deliver value, there's forced reflection.
Tell me
how that cannot make you better.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Brad. Scott, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to just say, it's interesting because, you know, I think I heard this on the MLS show. He was interviewing Lori Gottlieb, and she said like her goal was to be more interested than interesting. And I was like, oh man, that's excellent. And Scott might be the best person in the world I know about being more interested than interesting. And because he's so interested although he's an extremely interesting dude, but he wants to be more interested than interesting. We're all like touting him more than anything else, just because of like how he's made us feel, how he's made us feel valued, how he's let us tell our stories and whatever else, and how he's brought other people's stories to us. And And the idea, he's become even more interesting because he's led with being interested.
And that comes from a place of curiosity, right, Scott?
Yeah, and absolutely.
And you do it beautifully. And thanks for bringing that up, Mike, because it's to be interested, you have to come from a place of curiosity. So, Scott, have you always been like that, or did you develop that over time?
So, you know, I really love this conversation, and I've been listening, especially I heard somebody talk. I think, Carl, you said something about polish. And I just have to say, like, I've listened to all of your podcasts, and I'm always incredibly impressed with the communication skills that y'all have. And I always have felt that you all are better communicators than I am in the way that you speak. Did we just lose somebody? We lost Carl.
Yeah, where did Carl go?
He'll come back. Lynchburg, yeah. Internet. That's, you know, the gerbil stopped going around the circle.
I thought I hit a button or something, but anyway, go ahead.
No, I've always been incredibly impressed and, you know, a little bit, not so much self-conscious, I guess, but maybe envious of the way that y'all are able to speak and communicate. And I feel like I kind of blubber along in my conversations, but I've gotten some feedback from people that have, like what you guys said today about, my questioning skills and ultimately, like, that's not something I think about. It's, you know, the guests that I bring on my show are people that I am in awe of. I'm incredibly inspired by their stories and I want to know more. I mean, in a lot of cases, they're people that have done things that I would love to do at some point, or maybe I'm not bold enough to do. Maybe I'm not ever going to climb Mount Everest, but my gosh, I sure would like to dream about what that might be like. And so it is the curiosity of understanding that person's experience. So I think for me, some of it is just the subject matter. It's just so intriguing to me. And I really think that that's kind of what it comes down to. Like, I've been thinking, Rob, a lot about this idea of imposter syndrome. You've mentioned that a bunch of times. And I think to myself, like, you know, I don't know if that's really something that I struggle with. But as we're talking and I'm listening to you guys, I realize, like, on my show, I think that having a podcast gives me the ability. It's like a platform that gives me more credibility to have conversations with people that I'm not sure would want to have a conversation with me if there wasn't a platform to let them reach other listeners. Like, it's, I guess the imposter syndrome is, why would that person want to just talk to me? I need to have a framework and a place where they can talk to me, but then know that it's going to be out there for others to listen to. So I don't know. That's kind of an interesting reflection that you brought to me today in all of this.
But okay. I want to keep going to Scott for a second because
I was too.
This imposter syndrome keeps coming up. Like, here's what I need Scott to hear right now, and here's what I need everybody who's listening to this to hear. We all have a Mount Everest. My Mount Everest might be I have to have a difficult conversation with a team member, or I have a difficult conversation with a family member, or I have a health diagnosis that, you know, isn't exactly what I want. And I think this is what I've learned in 6 months of podcasting is I have a message that I want to get out, but just because this is the message I'm getting out, it doesn't mean that's how people receive it. So when I listen to Scott's podcast, it doesn't mean I'm going to climb Mount Everest. It doesn't mean all of your listeners are going to climb Mount Everest. It doesn't even mean you need to go do this. But symbolically, we all have a mountain to climb. We all have a journey to climb, and we all can find awe in the goodness of life. And that's the really cool part about your podcast and all of ours, really, but in yours specifically, that's the cool part.
Yeah. And Scott, you used the word bold. You said, maybe I'm not bold enough. I mean, bold is a relative word. Bold is different for each one of us, just like Mount Everest could be different for each one of us. And just, I guess just going out here and doing the podcast is a bold statement for anybody because, look, I was scared to death. I was scared to death. And I had that whole imposter syndrome thing going on. But I think we're all bold in our own sense that we're here. We're doing it. We're talking. And I know you guys. And I've known you my whole life, but I know you well enough that I know there's four or five caring people that want to help others, want to be an impact, want to be an inspiration to others. And none of us is doing this out of, vanity. None of us is doing it out of that. We're doing it to help and serve and be better and help others be better. So I just think it's awesome to sit and be on here with you guys. So, and who else wants to chime in?
Well, I mean, the boldness for me, for Scott, is like, Scott financially invested into his podcast a ton. I mean, way more. I mean, I basically got a microphone and figured out how to connect it to my computer and then let's go. And I know, like, you know, Scott was the first one to have, like, I think I got a Yeti cup from the Inspire Campfire, like, got the hat, you know. And, you know, the cool thing about getting my Inspire Campfire hat is, like, every single time I'm going on an adventure, I want to wear mine. I want to get that hat as dirty as I possibly can. And I want it to go on every hiking trip, everything I go on. And, you know, so like his boldness, I mean, no one's going to get rich. Well, very few people are getting rich on a podcast. And we're not, right?
Like, you're the only ones making money. So anyway, yeah.
And it basically just pays for me to have a couple bets here and there. And when I go to these tracks, but at the end of the day, like, it's very special. I think when I saw Scott went all in on his podcast and total investment and wanted to make sure that he appreciated his guest and that he, it was pretty remarkable to watch. And actually I was like, man, I'm laying up. I needed to do a little bit more like Scott. And then Brad took a little bit of that and Brad invested pretty good into your podcast as well. I've got more equipment than I need, but that's about it. So.
And I say, you know, Mike, you're the only ones making money. I should retract on that statement a little bit because I think every one of us is, you're putting yourself out there, putting your name out there, and people are maybe getting to know you better, who you are as the character in you. And you, they learn the competence as well. And in that piece, you may be getting deals you didn't know you would have gotten if it wasn't for doing some of this. So maybe we are getting paid and we don't even know it.
I think it's fair to go around the horn and just say, you know, what are you getting from this podcast? Right. And so I think that's something that listeners want to hear, because there's a lot of people out there right now that they're probably thinking like, I should start a podcast. I've always wanted to do one. I don't know how to start it. I'll tell you what I've gotten. You know, like from a very pragmatic standpoint, I've gotten team members to join us because they heard myself. They heard our heart. They heard some of our business model through some of our podcasting. But I'll just tell you, like, straight up at face value, some of the best things that I've gotten is just bumping into other industry professionals in our market, just saying, hey, thank you so much. I listened to it. It gives me hope. You know, it gives me hope. You know, if a clown like you can do it, you know, it gives me hope. You know, and so for me, just hearing that feedback, knowing that people are listening, obviously seeing the data behind it, and knowing, let me back up. I got one more thing to share as far as what I've gotten from it. And this is the cool part, right? So the way I'm built is I love to help others win. If I can help others win, if I can help other people win, I'm winning. That's how I gauge my life. Like the KPI for my life is if the people close to me are winning, I'm winning. I've had multiple guests on this podcast that have connected with one another and are doing business together. That to me is amazing.
That's powerful. I thought when you said, you know, this is how we're built, you were going to take your shirt off and show us how chiseled you were. But anyway,
chiseling, Rob. I'm in process.
You guys want to go around the horn and tell us what you're getting out of? Thanks for, you know, sharing that, Brad.
Yeah, I'll go. I like this question. You know, I have a one of the guests that I interviewed has climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. At the time I interviewed him, he's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro 46 times.
Wow.
Carl met him. The two of us met him in Tanzania. And he's since now climbed it 50 times. And if you ask him, why do you keep climbing Mount Kilimanjaro? He says, you know, some people play golf and they spend their money at a country club. I spend my money at Kilimanjaro. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, maybe that's the answer I'm going to give about my podcast. Like, you know, I don't play golf anymore. So I spend money on producing a podcast because it's a passion and it's something that I love to do. But, you know, I've talked about this before. There's really four things for me on my podcast and why and what I get out of it. And number one is, like, my jam in real estate too is sitting down one-on-one and just having deep conversations with people over coffee. And that's what this is. It's just getting to know people on a really deep level. One-on-one, it's a benefit that I get to hit record and then share it with other people. And if other people get something out of it, great. But for me, it's that, like, relationship that I get to build with them one-on-one. But number two is I get a deep amount of inspiration from these people, and it kind of fuels me to want to keep going with adventure. So, you know, yes, I've got my real estate business, but I also have a passion to go on these big adventures. And someday, and I do meditate, Brad. So someday I will be able to just go on an adventure inside, sitting on my chair in the lotus position. I'm not there yet. So, but yeah, the inspiration that I get for adventure. It also feels really good. I've had a lot of guests on my show. Like, some are bigger names than others. Some have come on my show for the very first time and they're first time podcasters and they've got incredible stories. And sometimes they don't realize how great their story is. And they're like, well, why would you want to talk to me? And then they come on the podcast and they share their story and they have a great experience and they're like, wow, that was really fun. And so for me to be able to provide a platform, especially for those newer folks that have never been on a podcast before, that's been really, really rewarding. The last one is the one that I struggle with the most. And that is, you know, this whole idea of growing listeners, you know, because I think that the vanity metric is how many listeners do you have? How many followers do you have? And I got to tell you, I let go of that a long time ago. Because like that one to me is like, this is the one that you're supposed to do. When you put your podcast out there, you're supposed to maximize the number of listeners that you have. Why? Well, maybe you'll get advertisers or maybe you get like, I don't care. Like, sure, that would be, I'm not saying that I, you know, would be upset if I had a lot more followers and listeners than I did. Like, sure, that's a great side effect. But it's just like, I see it as a vanity metric that it's just not something that to me is one of the things that really fills me up and why I do it.
Good man. It's beautiful. Mike.
Yeah. Cause Carl dropped off right before it was his turn to answer. So,
with that question.
Yeah, I get you. You know, whatever, Carl, I would say, so I'm going to weigh it against my, core values. For me, my four core values, are trust, impact, freedom, and joy. So, and of course, this answer was inspired because Brad lives his core values probably better than anybody I know too. So, but from the trust impact, like Carl said earlier, like we want to be seen as the trusted professional and the trusted advisor. And to me, it's a great way for us to build trust. And impact wise, I know that, when I run into someone at an event or someone calls me out of the blue and says, you know, I had this happen, honestly, just a couple days ago, when someone sent me a text message about, hey, I was in a bad spot, I listened and it really helped out. And just knowing that we can have that impact on whether it's just one person or whether, like I said, if I'm successful with that change the algorithm thing, if we can impact the entire industry, which I think we can, I'm going for it. And then joy for me, and I got a couple core beliefs that's really important with this word joy. Joy is, I believe in my faith that that God created us in his image, that God is great, and therefore God created us to be great. And to do that, he gave us certain gifts and abilities, a unique set of gifts and abilities to go out there and serve our purpose. And joy is the experience that we get from sharing those gifts and abilities with the people who want them and are open to receiving them. So it's a way for me to experience joy and to go out there and have impact, build trust, and eventually, like it's the podcasting, in one sense the word, just a great space for freedom, because I can get on here and say whatever I want. You know, at the end of the day, like, this is my show. I can go do what I want to do. I got the freedom to express my opinion and say what I need to say, and hopefully inspire a whole lot of other people out there.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mike. But aside from the fact you're the godfather and no one's going to want to mess with you, you know, you can say whatever you want. But that's well said. So, Carl, what are you getting out of it?
Yeah, so several things. I mean, and I appreciate so much what you guys shared. I mean, I heard core values in there. I heard about giving people a platform, telling their story, being authentic, all of that, right? So, you know, for us, it also is a core values thing. And, you know, in our company, our slogan is to be caring, competent, trusted advisors. And so it gives us a platform to showcase that. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, it also really adds value to others in that we support. So, you know, our company, we love to showcase and contribute to great causes in the community. And I'm pretty generous with just bringing on those folks, like the nonprofit that we're supporting, the 5K race. You know, this weekend is, for example, it's the Claire Parker Foundation annual 5K, Christmas 5K. We're recording this in December. You know, so just to be able to bring those people on and they can share their story. So here's, you know, Claire Parker was a 2-year-old girl that was diagnosed with cancer and ended up ultimately losing her parents, part of this foundation. And now, you know, all over Virginia and North Carolina, parents can drop off when you're a parent and your child is diagnosed with cancer, for example, you know, there's a lot of rushing around and there's just the physical needs aren't met. So now the parents are being taken to the hospital and now here's the Claire Parker Foundation coming alongside and making sure they have their basic needs, you know, met and providing support to the kid and to the parents. And so just to be able to share those stories, for example, you know, just to give people those voices, the podcast does it. But I'll tell you, it's also been a benefit to my business. And again, 3 years in, we are starting to get some business off of it. Hey, I've been hearing you on the radio. You sound like you know what you're talking about. You know, I know you're going to be good for our family as we're making this move. So there is a little bit of a payoff, but that's not why I started it necessarily. It was more to provide value, provide accurate information to the marketplace and to showcase the people in our community, the people in places in our community. And I feel like that's been the benefit for me.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Carl.
Rob, what about you? You got an answer?
Yeah. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity to, you know, to answer something on my show anyway. So, you know, for me, it was the idea of called obedience or following a calling. And I didn't know what the heck was going on. You guys know the story. I sat here, I was meditating, praying, and I've talked to a few people prior to a few, Zoom calls prior to, and the words "work in progress" were playing in my heart. And for whatever reason, God gave me the gift of seeing that and feeling that. And then, you know, we saw that half chiseled statue and I'm like, okay, let's do it. Let's talk about living a chiseled life. And living a chiseled life is getting better in all aspects of our lives. And if I could be a conduit is what I thought initially to do that. Okay, I'll do it. But I just wanted to follow that call because I heard it and I heard it loud and clear. And what was interesting, though, I was in the middle of a podcast, I don't know, about a year ago. And I was talking, you know, asking the questions and whatnot. And it was like God hit me in the back of the head. I'm thinking, okay, I'm excited to pass this information on. And I was like, he's like, Rob, wait a minute. This isn't just about you passing information on. This is about you getting better, too, that you becoming a better listener, you asking better questions, you becoming better for others, not just for yourself, but for others. And look, there's times I get up and I got a podcast schedule. I'm like, God, do I really feel like I'm into it today? Right. And I question myself and I'm like, you know what? This is what you asked me to do. I'm going to do it. Now, do I know what's next? No. Do I have a feeling what's coming next? Possibly. And I just want to get better every day. Every morning I sit in a chair across from where I'm sitting right now. I'm like, God, just get me better today than I was yesterday and tell me what you need me to do. And I just want to hear it. And so that's what I'm getting out of it. And it's fulfilling to me. You talk about joy, Mike. It's fulfilling to me. And what I learned, like I've learned from you guys today. And what I learned from all the guests is a gift. It's a gift that I wasn't expecting. And then my job, I guess, is to help pass that gift along. And that's how it's affected me.
Wow. That's great. I want to push back a little bit. So this is a podcast for a lot of the listeners. It's not just for us. I mean, I know I'm getting a lot of it out of right now, but if you're a listener right now and you are thinking that all of us are just in agreement all the time, let me be the one to disagree a little bit. I'm gonna push back on Scott a little bit. So Scott, I heard you say something that I do agree with, but I want to make sure that that the listeners understand what we mean here. So you said like, you're not looking at the metrics, like you're doing this, there's more of a holistic, I totally agree with that, but I want to make sure the listeners understand this right now. Losers have a platform. Winners have a bigger platform. And I think what we're all saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm gonna push back here a little bit. Metrics are still important because winners have bigger platforms. Having a platform is a responsibility that we all have. Losers have a smaller platform. Winners have a bigger platform. But I think what you're really saying, which we're going to agree, okay, but it's going to sound like a pushback just to make sure this podcast is entertaining. What you're really saying is I'm not finding my identity in the downloads. My identity is not in how many people are listening to this. But as a competitive person like we all are, I need to figure out how to get this in the hands of more people because more people are going to benefit from hearing what winning looks like. And that's inspirational. We can learn a lot from losing. We can learn a lot from failing. But I think what you were saying that we do agree with, and it sounds like a pushback just to get the listeners engaged again, is I'm not finding my identity in this. Are you kidding me? Like my identity is not in the downloads, but I'm not doing this podcast to lose.
There's your locker room speech from Brad Knoll. Go ahead, Scott.
There we go. Well, Brad knows me very, very well. He knows, so we're both Enneagram 3s. As a matter of fact, we have 4 Enneagram 3s on this call right now. So anybody that's familiar with the Enneagram, and maybe you can guess who's who, but yeah, I mean, Brad knows me, and I think you're absolutely right about wanting to share this message with as many people as possible. I also think that there is... it's not the reason why you do it. And I don't want that to be the reason why I do it. I want it to be as authentic as possible. And I want it to be about those things that fuel me. You know, I think it's gotta be something that fuels me and is good for other people, but it's gotta be kind of a both and. And I think you have to, for me, you have to start there. I'm an impatient person as an Enneagram 3, right? And so if my expectation is I'm going to start this thing and I'm immediately going to have a million followers, I'm going to get frustrated and quit, right? And yeah. That's not what I want. Like, I want to do this because it's something that I love, not because I'm trying to chase some metric. So yes, I would love for this message. I mean, and honestly, this is, again, maybe this is the imposter syndrome, but I want people to hear the stories that my guests have to share. That's really what I want.
How many people won, or a bunch of people?
As many people as possible. No, as many people as possible. I want my guests' stories to be heard. You know, I think that's one of the coolest things is when one of your guests calls and says, like, hey, here's this thing that somebody reached out because they heard the podcast episode I did with you, and here's what happened because of it. That's an awesome feeling. And yeah, I would love for that to spread. But I also, you have, like, for me personally, I'm only speaking for me. I have to balance that because I am somebody that I do thrive on feedback and encouragement. You guys have been so encouraging and said, Scott, you're a great listener. Like, if I didn't get that feedback from people, I wouldn't have the confidence that I've gotten. I've gotten confidence from people like you that have given me that feedback, that have said you're a great listener. And so now I can be on an episode and be like, I'm a great listener. I'm going to just like that question that I'm kind of afraid to ask. Now I'm less afraid to ask it because I've gotten that feedback from you guys. But there is like it's like this kind of like little dance that you play along the way. And so, yes, I would like everybody that needs to hear the message to hear the message, but I don't want to get ahead of myself and be impatient about it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because like I'm hearing a lot of go-giver talk right here. We all want to provide more value than we take in payment, which is good because all of our shows are free. But that second law of the go-giver, it's whenever people, if you haven't read the go-giver, please go do it. But, you know, a lot of people think that the hardest law of the go-giver is law number 5, to always be open to receiving. And I really feel like it might be law 2, where law 2 is the law of compensation. Your compensation is directly impacted to how well you serve people and how many people you serve. And I know that, like, for example, in our real estate business, we serve people at a very high level. We also have capacity to serve a lot more people. And is it my fault that we're not serving more people, or is it the person who doesn't even know better? Like, right. So it's obviously it's our fault. And it's not necessarily chasing a metric, but also like knowing that we've got something that's very valuable to offer, that if we don't make it known that we have this thing that would really help people, whether it's our business or our podcast or whatever else, you know, then, you know, it's kind of funny. Rob and I are both Catholic, and we look at sinning as not just what you did wrong, but what you failed to do. And if we got something to offer that could help people and we fail to put it out there for them, then that's a problem.
And Mike, if I can just add to that, not just about sinning, it's just about taking a talent and gift that you have and not and bearing it, right? We all have a responsibility. If this is one of our talents and gifts and ability to do this and to share a message and to help and encourage others, and we don't do it, that would be a definition of sinning, in the context of which you said, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it goes back to what our mutual friend Bill Hampton talks about. You know, if you're really good at what you do, and there's others in the industry that aren't very good at what you do and what they do,
And if you're not promoting yourself as being a better option, then that's wrong. You know, it kind of goes along that whole message that our friend Bill Hampton talks Absolutely. About as well. Yeah.
And see, and we just talked so much about joy. That's the opposite of joy almost, you know? So.
Right. Guys, I don't know how much time you got. I can keep going, or we can get this.
I think there needs to be another episode because this is amazing. I don't know how much people can handle of the five of us. And we can bring Ben back in, but this has been healing for me just listening to you guys because you know it's tough, and I think the toughest part, like we named at the very beginning, is the consistency. You got to show up, and for me, it's that force reflection.
Yeah, right.
It's no different than any. You know, we show up at a coaching call. It's like, oh man, I got a coaching call today. I got to get my numbers right. I got to get my notes ready. Like that feverish activity is important, and it's because there's something scheduled. And so my encouragement to people is, if you don't have a podcast, start a blog. Do something where there is forced reflection in your life. There, it's time bound. And you're going to be better because of it. You don't have to start a podcast. This is not us, you know, coming to you saying you have to go buy a nice microphone and start a podcast. This is saying find something that's forced reflection in your life. Maybe it's I'm going to check in with somebody every single Friday morning. Like that's your podcast. Go be great at that, right? Get chiseled. Go find something, you know, and just have some reflection. So Rob, I don't want to speak on behalf of everybody else, but I appreciate you doing this. It was forced reflection for me. I got my notes up here ready to go. You know, like I had to listen to everybody's podcast and make sure we could throw some flowers to everybody here. But thank you for doing this today, Rob.
Yeah, my pleasure. Awesome. So Bernie gave us his phrase or word, forced reflection. Let's go through. This is ad lib. There's nothing planned here. Go. Let's go around the screen here. And Scott, what's a word or phrase that you got out of today?
Oh, I'm in awe of you guys.
Okay. Love it. Awesome. Mike.
Yeah, I got to agree. I mean, that whole concept of awe is something that now is really kind of bouncing around my head right now too.
Carl.
This isn't one word, but I think it just reiterates the fact that everybody has a story. And Rob, I got to give you a lot of credit because you kind of pulled some stuff out of me and said, Carl, you know, you got a message to give. And it's pretty easy sometimes to sort of downplay yourself. But I go back to what Brad said too. Brad, I think what you said is just so spot on that a lot of times we let that excuse, oh, I don't have value to bring. And it really stems from fear or insecurity. And I agree 100%. If you start putting yourself out there, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a blog, whether it's maybe a social media post you're being intentional about, there is value that you bring to the world and that will inspire others. And so, that's what I wanted to share.
So good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think of three words. I mean, the awe was on my mind as well. Curiosity, that was big, coming from a place of curiosity, and you know, just always being willing to learn, and worthiness, knowing that we're all worthy, and because there's a lot of times we don't think we're worthy. A lot of times we don't think what we do is helping others, but we're all worthy. And I've struggled with the self-esteem issue over the years, and. Like you said, Carl, everybody's got a story. Or Brad said it, or maybe everybody said it. We all have stories, and our stories are worthy to somebody. And that's important as well. So, hey,
I don't want the closing words, Rob, but I do want to offer hope to people because I think there's a lot of people listening. They're like, oh, these guys have a podcast and they've got it going on, and I don't know where to start. But I'm gonna add to my words. Force reflection is definitely my word, but just we would not be doing the audience justice if we did not share the word mastermind. Because at the end of the day, this is what this is. My podcast only exists because of the ripple effects of masterminding with you guys.
Yeah.
And I think people need to hear that. People need to not hear like, oh, I have a podcast. I need to go start. Like, I don't have a podcast. These guys do. I need to go start a podcast. No, you don't. Go find a buddy, go find a friend, go find somebody you can mastermind with that you can talk about what you're going through and that you can champion each other. So for me, that hope comes in the masterminding of what we're doing here. And I think that's a real message people need to hear. We're recording this in December. I don't know when you're going to release it, but every start of a new year, every start of a new month, every start of a new day, you got to have that hope and you got to find that hope. And for me, I find hope in the relationships and it's all about relationships win for me.
That's beautifully said. Do you guys, we could go around and just tell you, how can everybody get a hold of you? And then we'll wrap it up. You want to do that?
Sure.
Go ahead, Mike.
I don't know how you get hold of me. Mike@resolutions.realtor.
Or reach out to me and I'll connect you with any of these.
Yeah, guys. Whatever. I mean, most of my social platforms, like I'm on, is it Twitter or X? I don't know. I'm Big Mike Gandolfo. I think Mike's Good Life on Instagram, which I don't post on that a lot. Mike Gandolfo, just Google it.
There you go. Scott.
Inspire Campfire. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and inspirecampfire.com.
There you go. Carl.
So my business site is really easy to find. Just Google Carl Miller. It's Carl with a K, but carlmillerrealty.com. You can also check out our team pages, which is at Carl Miller on Instagram and Facebook. And appreciate the opportunity to be here today, Rob. Thanks again.
And Mr. Brad's is Abby's little brother.
I was going to say Mr. Fort Worth. Anyway.
Brad Noel, Fort Wayne, Indiana, second largest city in Indiana, for those that are confused right now by Rob's introductions. underscore Brad Noel underscore at Instagram. That's usually where we hang out. We post a lot of pictures and videos and inspirational stuff about the guests that have been on our podcast. But connect us on Instagram. Send us a direct message if you have a guest that thinks should be on our podcast. We just want to continue to provide inspiration. So thank you,
Brad. That goes for any of us, because we could all refer each other guests that we've talked to or spoken to. That's great. So hey, Brad, thanks for that your locker room speeches. I mean that sincerely, because you said some good stuff, intense stuff here, and everybody shared some awesome information. And I'm walking away from here like, what did I just learn today? And I got so many notes. It's just ridiculous here. So I'm appreciative of you guys. I'm in awe of you guys. I'm totally up for doing another mastermind podcast here. If you guys are up for it, we just have to pick a date and get us all rounded up and get together. But I love you guys. I love all of you. I'm in awe of you. You're special to me, and you've taught me a lot over the years, and I'm just very grateful for you guys.
Rob, you're better than you think.
Rob, let's go get chiseled.
That's typically how we end it, but I'm going to do it this way, Carl. You're going to say the phrase, and I'll say, until next time, everybody.
Let's get chiseled.
Get chiseled.
Let's go get chiseled. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Rob. This has been amazing. Love you guys.
Love y'all.
You just got chiseled with Rob Pomodoro. Be sure to like this podcast, share it with your friends, and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, you can find Rob's book on Amazon, Better Than Equal.